Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Hello and welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things fantasy footy draft. We've got our round 7 review coming up, then it's waiver wire pickups, captain risky and trade of the week, as well as listener questions. And that's right, we have the new theme song up and going thanks to my boy Caddy and his band Salaboo Macy. Thanks a lot to them. We'll let you know a bit more about them shortly. I'm Doss, and on the show this week we have a very sober Stevie Fizz. G'day, Steve.
Yeah, g'day Doss, g'day listeners. It's going to be a very, very straight bat this week. Just back on the beers. But I want to talk about something that happened this week to me at work. Because one of the things that's happened in the country is, I'm not used to dealing with, is you got to be aware that death is all around you. And no, I don't mean death in the form of Harry McKay dropping a 3 on you in your fantasy league, by the way. I'm talking about actual things dying. Like, I'm picking up dead kangaroos out on the golf course all the time. And so I had a kangaroo out on the golf course this week that was ready to die. What? What are you putting your hands up, you jobbers? Did you do that thing again?
No, it's not about you. It's actually my light keeps on going off. So I go into light, into darkness.
You're always in the darkness, my friend. How's so many of your calls are working out just beautifully. But I wanted to talk about death, because we had this kangaroo that was basically needed to be put out of its misery. It was absolutely rooted, lying on the ground, just struggling away. So I had to call out the cops to come out and shoot it. And the cops come out, and this guy's like 6 foot, like 6 foot three, 3 inches bigger than me, built like a tank, carrying a rifle. And he just starts repeatedly big fellering me. Oh, you going, big fella? We've got to get this taken care of, big fella. I'm looking and going, mate, I'm not the big fella. And to me, this is worse than a champing. Because when you get champed, it's just kind of like, whatever. But big fella, there's an insinuation. And I'm like, well, I can't say anything because he could snap me in half if he didn't want to shoot me with his bloody 22. It was just a strange day out on the golf course. And I'm feeling a little bit worse for wear about the big fella situation. So,
On your big fella. Well, Jono is here as well and clearly deeply regretting his decision to not head down and watch the great Bailey Williams rack up 29 disposals for Footscray, Jono.
Yeah, well, I could have gone down to Casey Fields and sat in the wind and the rain, or I could just sit at home in the warm comfort of my house and drink beer like Stevie Fizz did. And that's what I chose to do because... fuck watching Bailey Williams play in the reserves. And g'day, listeners.
I know why Bailey Williams wanted to play good. Because if he plays good, there's a chance he'll get to come up to Ballarat next week and drop by Ararat, the superior rat. No?
I don't think so.
Yes, I forgot to be playing that way this week.
Well, you get a chance to see him yourself then, Stevie, just like you've always dreamed of. All right, well, the great man is back as well. The statesman is here, ready to tell us what Toby Green is. What is he, statesman?
He's a gun, and I'm glad to be back after a little hiatus, just to bring a little bit of class back into the Draft Doctors.
Certainly. So, guys, the new theme song at the start and the end of the show is by Caddy, who's the lead singer of Adelaide band Salaboo Macy. And rumour has it they're actually Statesman's favourite band. But Salaboo Macy have a new song called Dog Days coming out on May 10th. That's this week. And they've got their single launch show being held at the Exeter Hotel in Adelaide on Rundle Street on the 18th of May. So if you're in Adelaide, check that out. So on to our round 7 review and things we noticed this weekend, starting with the Collingwood Port game on Friday night there, Steve.
Yeah, it was a great performance from my old favourite team. And look, defenders against Collingwood, it's still a thing. They're still going to dominate in the midfield. There's going to be plenty of opportunity. Port, after the initial first quarter blitz, Port held pretty tight in that match. But it was really the guys across half back, like Burton and Byrne Jones and Houston and Leanett, they all got amongst it. So if you're looking to start defenders, although maybe next week Carlton, yeah, I don't think they have any defenders left. So maybe one to watch there. But if you're streaming a defender, Collingwood have been our bread and butter for a few years. Certainly doesn't look like slowing down. Adam Treloar's splits with and without Taylor Adams are pretty well documented. I don't think I really need to go into too much detail here, but when Taylor Adams misses, Adam Treloar goes bang. When Taylor Adams is in, Adam Treloar's just fine. But he's certainly not the same. He scored 72 fantasy points after Adams went out in the third quarter after somewhat of a slow start. So with Taylor Adams set to miss at least a month on the sidelines, it's probably, if you don't own Adam Treloar, it might be worth throwing in a bid. If you do own Adam Treloar, you know, there's going to be a captainable option for the next month. Certainly enjoy that. Pies smashed Port Adelaide in contested ball. I probably wouldn't be too worried about you guys like Tom Rockliffe and that. It just wasn't really going their way. One thing I really hate is, like, the season after a player has a bit of a shitty year is when you hear the, oh, yeah, I played all year with a secret injury, which is what we've heard this week from Scott Pendlebury, that he was playing last year with a back complaint where he couldn't bend as much. His last 2 weeks have been phenomenal. He was actually pretty good for most of the year. He's had tags and whatnot that have slowed him down from week to week, but with some pretty handy matchups on deck, Pendlebury's looking like a very, very captainable player at the minute. One thing I might be a little bit concerned about is if I'm a Lysette owner. He looked pretty ordinary, I thought, on the weekend. Ryder certainly looked the far better ruckman, was getting around the ground really well, looking to inspire his team. I don't think Port really have a great replacement for Lysette at the moment with Dixon being injured. But if I was a Lysette owner, maybe it's time to start seeing what you could get for him, because he hasn't been too bad. We know the forwards have been kind of ordinary this year. Might be time to trade high, because he really hasn't impressed me greatly.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff. Hey Statesman, I know you keep a pretty updated list of your young guns that you have there in that little spreadsheet. How's my boy, the weapon, Connor Rosie, tracking on that little spreadsheet there? Is he up there in one of the better keeper prospects coming through?
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing, he's DPP. So he's sitting there as a forward line and can rotate in the midfield. And if you didn't see it this week, Rocky ended up in the last quarter deep forward and Connor Rosie went into the midfield. So they're actually already showing us what's going to happen. So he's going to be one of those players that share his time between forward and midfield, should keep a DPP for quite a few years, and is going to be a massive scorer. That boy's got some tricks. So, yeah, I would be very surprised if he's not hanging around that top 10, if not in the top 5.
Speaking of other keeper options, just Steve, I wonder what your opinion. I think he's had an injury so far this year, but would you be trading low, incredibly low, for a guy like Braden Sire, who we saw last year was awesome, but do you just think this year, are your thoughts that there might not be a spot for him in the side? I mean, with Taylor Adams going down, could we see? I think he's got a toe injury at the moment, but he might be able to get through that. Where is Braden Sire at, do you think, there, Steve?
I think there's a spot for him in the team, and I think he's probably a good buy low, but with managed expectations, like, you're rebuilding if you're buying low on Braden Sire, because obviously if you have to keep him, you're probably going to be letting someone pretty good go in order to keep him. But you're keeping him with the eye on the future that Pendlebury is going to be retiring within the next 2 or 3 years. I'm not sure that's happening, or at least he's moving out of that midfield, because Treloar is still quite young. Adams is still quite young. Beams has still got a few years in him. Like, it's just, to me, there's going to be so much contested ball swallowed up by these guys that you really need to be cagey about what your expectations are in the immediate future. Like, yes, we've seen the fantasy game, but they went and brought in another A-grade midfielder, or at least on paper an A-grade midfielder.
It's so stiff to be one of the better players in a grand final and then be struggling on the outer, but maybe the injuries are to blame. Who knows?
Well, he is battling injury, and that's probably been his curse. He had to come from a low fitness base, we know. It took him a while to get into the team, but we saw what he could do when he was on the park in very limited game time. So I'm I think it's a good buy low if you're maybe keeping 15 plus, but you've got to really weigh up what you're keeping versus what your expectations should be over the next year or two. Because I think he'll find his way back into the pool in most keeper leagues, unless you're talking a dynasty.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get on to the Melbourne Hawthorn game at the MCG there on Saturday, Jono.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty good game to watch. This one, we know Melbourne had their struggles throughout the season, but one thing I noticed big time was no Jack Viney, and the Demon structure seemed to fall into place. They had their run and carry game going. The defenders did what they were doing. Even Tommy Mack bobbed up and was actually doing some nice things. So with no Viney, it also helped James Harms. He'd been struggling to find his spot in that team, playing a little bit on the ball, a little bit outside. But Viney out injured, James Harms went straight into that midfield, and O'Meara went ham in that first quarter. And then pretty much after halftime, Harms went onto him and only kept him to like 3 or 4 disposals. So I think we're going to see Harms back in that midfield for more periods and spend a little bit of time forward as well. The defenders against the Hawks, something that's been continuing to roll on throughout the year. And again, we saw it with Hibbard. He had a really good game again. So I'll be looking to stream defenders against the Hawks in the coming rounds with that as well. And that's all I noticed, really.
Yeah, cool. Did you notice, was Michael Hibbard, was his role pretty fantasy friendly again there? I mean, he's had a couple of okay weeks, but like he popped a big ton here. And I mean, I didn't see the game, but a mate of mine said, oh, look, check out Michael Hibbard again. He's back to his best. Did you notice that when you were watching the game?
Yeah, absolutely. He was playing that sweeping role, taking all the intercepts and rebounding. So if it continues on, I don't know how it's going to work with Steve May, probably due back in the next week or two. But yeah, it was a pretty good role.
Yeah, I had a question just on Tim O'Brien, Jono. We knew in the preseason he was training as that intercept defender. Is that something, is he a viable option, especially for your super coach leagues? And is he going to impact James Sicily going forward?
I want to see more of Tim O'Brien. It's only the first game I've noticed him playing that sweeping role, but sick dog, he is the sick dog for a reason. They're the guy, they want the ball in his hands, rebounding, intercepting. So I want to see a bit more of Tim O'Brien, but certainly could be a plus matchup in the weeks to come.
What happened to Angus Brayshaw? He scored round about the 30 mark in the first quarter, but only ended up with 65. Was it a change of role, or is he just having a tough day? Because most teams have been scoring pretty well in the midfield against Hawthorn.
Yeah, absolutely. And he got pushed that far outside. He was sitting in the with the MCC members eating caviar and crackers, that he was not getting any of it. Like I said, Melbourne had their structure back there, running the corridor, so that link play, he was just outside, not getting the ball. So something to watch if they do leave him on the outside.
Alrighty, on to the GWS St Kilda game there, Statesman.
Well, 3 out of 3 here, and maybe this is a message, but I'm expecting people should be streaming defenders against St Kilda. I think that's 3 teams out of 3. Last week, Brody Smith, 108, Jake Kelly, 104, and Alex Keith, 103. Now, this week, Zach Williams, a season high, 112, Nick Haynes, a season high, 111, and Sam Reed, almost a career high, 104. So St Kilda's certainly given a lot of points away in their defensive zone or their forward zone as such. And they've got West Coast Eagles this week. So I reckon that Liam Duggan might be a worthwhile stream option, only 53% owned. So he's quite worthwhile to have in this week. The second one, which I'm actually going to mention two ruckmen this week, and we always say there's some value at the end of the drafts. Well, this has proven true yet again. Rowan Marshall is actually the real deal and is firmly the Saints' number one ruck. We know he's missed 2 games, obviously the beginning of the year through injury, round one, and fell ill last week, maybe had a bit of a meal at the MCG. But he certainly is performing extremely well, scoring in the high 90s, but also restricts the opposition ruck. So here's an interesting bit of information. Not one ruckman, and including Max Gawn, has actually scored a ton on Rowan Marshall this year. So just be mindful when you're looking at your captain options. If they're playing St Kilda and you're looking at a Max or a Brody, just be mindful Rowan Marshall certainly restricts as well as score himself. And that's his work around the ground. He does give up some hit-outs, so Super Coach may still get good scores with Ruckman against him, but certainly not in Dream Team. Pretty good game. Some injuries again to the GWS, and obviously we already knew that Kelly was a late withdrawal. Just happened on Friday, which meant the tag went to Cornelio. So we just need to be keeping an eye what's happening in that GWS midfield, because your players are having a bit of a share of rotation of who's scoring big. But of course, our new Lords, as Steve put out, Timmy Taranto, the absolute star, turned up again. And of course, as we said, the defenders did well. But one player we should mention is Jeremy Cameron. He is just an absolute superstar and scores really big this year. I know I gave him away in the keeper, put him back to the waiver, was hoping to get him back, but unfortunately not the case. Someone was very smart when we went back to his drafting, but performing extremely well and loves that key role where he's the main man and scoring very well. I think, again, he's in the mid-90s average.
What did you notice from Blake Akers in this one? I haven't really bought his scores this year. He hasn't sort of looked like he's had the role that we actually like him to have when he scores well, but he has managed to sort of score okay. And almost, it looks like a little bit of a trick with what he's done so far this year. And this sort of score of 42, Dream Team 66, Super Coach, it seems more. Do you reckon he's going to be a struggle to be playing a lot in your forward line this year, and it's going to be matchup based?
Yeah, with a keeper, I'll hold on to him. But for your 1 year leagues, Akers doesn't look like a good option. The only week he really did well, he did score two scores in the 90s, but one that he looked really good was when Longa was playing. So he sort of pinched hit in the ruck, so it gave him that extra midfield time. I will say that the scoring at St Kilda is quite concerning outside Rowan Marshall. I think Ross had a bit of a run, but look, his averages are in the mid-90s, which is about 15 points below. So I think Billings and Marshall have been the tick so far, but even Billings are starting to drop. So I think it's an overall club thing, and you're not getting the midfield time for Akers that he probably warrants. But he did have an interrupted pre-season, so maybe they're managing his time. I think he was one of the least time on ground players for St Kilda this week.
Yeah, right. Jumping on to the next game there, and Staceman, you also checked out the Brisbane-Sydney game there as well.
Wow. We were talking about who was going to get that midfield time with Heaney gone and a few changes within their structure, but it ends up being they've gone back to the old. JPK's ended up being the big winner, and they're just allowing him to do that bulk inside work. And of course, in the wet, he's always going to be a superstar. So JPK, people would have picked up, because he dropped about 10 or 12 points from last year. They would have picked up a massive bargain. He would have been, I reckon, 7th, 8th, or even 9th round before he was getting picked up, maybe even later in some leagues, depending on what the league structure is, of course. So JPK, if you own him, you should be very thankful. If people are a little bit still, you know, touchy on him, whether he is going to keep this, I reckon you might be able to get a decent bargain and get JPK in your side. Because the one thing we do know about Horse is he stuffs up our players and our teams, but when he makes his decision, he's stuck with it for 15 years, and that player's going to keep doing the same thing even when they're retired. The next one is the tag on Neil Freeze-Up Zorko, 136 this week, and I know Steve will be pretty happy with that because he's over the age of 28. You probably wouldn't know a number that high, would you, Doss? Average still a little low, so it may be worthwhile to ask the question from an owner. So he might be going, this is just one out of the box. But Neil's been playing so well that any club that's going to give anyone any major attention is going to go to Lockie Neil, which means Zorko's average for the remainder of the year should be quite high, or should be expecting a 105 for the remainder of the season. And while there's a little 90 sticking next to his name, the owners might be keen to sell if you give them a worthwhile offer.
Hey, were the Swans bad enough there, Stato, to maybe squeeze in big Rhino Clark, who had 47 disposals, 9 marks, 5 tackles, and 172 fantasy points on the weekend?
Well, just goes to prove that Ryan Clark can score big when he gets the role he needs or and or deserves.
Interesting, Steve, isn't it? Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not.
Considering Arrieta went 146.
If you're an outside squib, you're an outside squib.
Oh!
Oh, man. I mean, the NIFL, this is pretty funny too. Colin O'Riordan, however you say that, he's probably in for a chance if anyone as well. He's had 41 disposals, 146 in the same game. And then that's last week, he had 42 disposals and 167 as well. So there's a fair bit of pill going around there. But honestly, Colin O'Riordan seems like the sort of guy that would be actually valuable in the modern game. I think he sort of like plays that sort of speedy run off the half back thing. So, I mean, if he's putting up solid numbers there, maybe just have a look for him. Not to pick him up or anything, but focus when he comes back in and have a look there. All right, let's jump on to the Western Bulldogs Richmond game there, Jono.
Yeah, well, the Western Bulldogs just fucking everyone up left, right and centre yet again. We always thought that forwards against the Western Bulldogs are the way to go, but Jesus Christ, did their defence stand up and absolutely bath the Richmond forwards. Tom Lynch barely sighted. I touted Castagna as a late week pickup. Again, barely sighted. Even the defenders against the Doggies are generally pretty good. Nope, not this week. All got bathed, except for a bloke called Sydney Stack, who is a rookie for crying out loud and was the only one who scored a super coach ton, and was the only ton in all forms of format for Richmond. The Doggies just outclassed them massively in this game. The Bont moving forward looked like it freed up Josh Dunkley to take CBAs. He had 16 for the game. I don't know if it was just a present for his 50th game that Bevo just, mate, 50th game, just play the guts that you should be doing. But Libba, even though he did have the 13 CBAs, he was just unsighted.
Which you didn't see at all.
Which I did not see. I had to ask our mate Fantasy Freako. I was on a mixture of beer and paracetamol, so I was seeing a lot of different things on Saturday night. But yeah, Libba, I did not see him in the game, and his scores reflected that. So who knows?
Will he be out, Jono?
No, they'll keep him in. I think they'll keep him in because there's no one in the twos that are doing much good to take his spot. But maybe they just push him towards the bye round and then give him that rest and reset coming into the bye rounds. But with the Bont moving forward, it was a good split. He did still have that 60-40. Actually, hit kicking goals, so that will free up the Dunks. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Aaron Norton as a forward seems like the thing.
I want to wind back the tape on that one and what you said about Aaron Norton playing forward last week, Jono.
There was no mean tweets to Bevo this week. I was actually going to give him a congratulatory tweet, but no, I couldn't be bothered.
Should Libba owners be pretty worried at the moment? 39 fantasy, 58 Supercoach points on the weekend, and he's had a couple of rough weeks in a row.
Yeah, definitely. Look, as Statesman suggested, could be just getting a little bit tired coming off that ACL. But again, I don't really see anyone to take his spot coming in. I know Bailey Williams had, I think, 29 disposals for Footscray against Casey this weekend.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We saw how well he played in the guts a couple of weeks ago, and that's why he was dropped.
That's the three-peat. Ryan Clark in the NIFL, Bailey Williams in the VFL, and, of course, Dom Tyson in the VFL as well.
Eight touches for Dom. on the weekend. Very good there, Dom Tyson. Hey, Statesman, just out of interest as well, how high up would Bailey Smith be on your keeper league radar there? Pretty high? Young gun?
No. As you and I talked offline, you're 0 from 2 this year. So I've got a new fantasy football rule. Never listen to DOS. So if you're spruiking another Bailey, I'm hanging off. No, look, he does look quite impressive. He's getting backed in by the coach, which is absolutely fantastic. So a first year that's never proved himself as getting a game in front of Bailey Williams.
Hey, Steve, your sons... Your sons went down to the Mighty Weagles, but there's no harm in that. But what do you
mean
say
our sons? Our sons, Dos.
Oh, yeah, our sons, yeah.
That's
our
true. Well, they got absolutely screwed by the umpires, which cost them the victory as usual. I thought actually Gold Coast were pretty competitive, but their disposal is the killer, which we were saying, heading into the year, and it's just bombs away when they get into panic stations. It's actually really interesting, because I was watching the game and... You just see Jared Harbrow was playing a ripping game across half back, just intercepting everything. But as soon as he got the ball, he looked to the boundary line and just kicked it there. And his disposal efficiency would tell you that, because they weren't bothering to guard that kick. And then whoever got the ball was just absolutely screwed and had to bang it down the line. And you do that against West Coast, forget about it. The ball's going back the other way. When they actually bothered to try switch it up and go through the middle, that's when they looked at their best. They are still young, but if you had a team of tall defenders, I'm thinking Fremantle, who can intercept the ball, they'll probably score pretty well against the Gold Coast. Really interesting, I thought. Dos, your boy, the GOAT Arini, tagged.
Well, it's probably a necessary thing. He is the GOAT, so you've probably got to try and shut him down. But I don't think there'll be too many teams that follow that tactic, but... was he shut down there, Steve? Only the 76 and 65 Super Coach. Do you reckon it might be something of concern going forward? Or, I mean, West Coast is probably, you know, one of the few tag targets that you're worried about coming up against anyway, so not too concerned.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that he was actually the tag target. If I was targeting anyone, it'd probably be
Martin.
Jack Martin, who, like, if that guy was in a good team, he'd be, oh my goodness, we'd be talking about him.
What do you mean a good team? he's in a good team.
Well, sorry, if he was in a more media-friendly team. Vic Bias, hashtag Vic Bias. They're always out to screw the little guy. But he's too unselfish, Jack Martin. That's his problem. He needs to get hungry, I think. Centre clearances, interestingly, 10-5 Gold Coast way. I think that late change with Hickey out maybe didn't help, but I think Nick Nat's maybe they're looking at him around the buys. But they just look lazy as shit, West Coast. I've got to be honest. Like, they look slow and bored. And I know they laid 80 tackles for the game, but it was a real stoppage-heavy game. And they just didn't look like they had great pressure, especially forward of the ball. Maybe it's a premiership hangover thing. I don't know. To me, it just looked like they... playing like millionaires, looking for free kicks sort of thing. Darcy McPherson certainly getting stints through the midfield, and we've always liked him from a fantasy perspective. He's a very good tackler, so he finds the ball as well. So I'm certainly looking to, if I needed an F5, he might be the guy. Maybe he's a bench, whatever, but I'm certainly interested. Took Miller, spent a fair bit of time at half forward, had a pretty ordinary score. I know Cam Champ isn't on the podcast this week. George Holland Smith, mate. How is Will Brody getting dropped for this jobber? Like, fairly.
I was actually going to mention, just checking out the fan footy site at the moment, and there's just one player with the Spud icon sitting right firmly next to him there for Monty's. Chucked it on the G. Holland Smith. The Spud icon, 26 fantasy, 26 super coach on the weekend. Disgraceful stuff.
Probably cost us the win, Dos, as well as the umpires.
All right, let's get on to...
We got the W.
Man, and I watched a fair bit of this game. It was disgusting, the Carlton-North Melbourne game there. What did you notice, Steve?
Yeah, if disposal efficiency is your wheelbag... Carlton isn't your team to watch, because if there's a target, they are missing it. I can't believe that a team would have only two players go at over 78%. Like, usually your defenders rock an 85 just because they're chipping it around and that sort of thing. So, holy hell, you can really forgive Harry Mackay's 3 Dream Team points and 6 Supercoach points. Oh, no, wait, you can't. But that's always been Carlton's thing. They've been really struggling with ball movement. You take away guys like Nick Newman, Cade Simpson, and the very informed Matty Cruiser, and things are going to struggle. If you had a North Melbourne player, congratulations, because they all scored well. Very good to see. And one thing I sort of think is kind of interesting on Carlton is you look at the no-runner thing, and you take away a guy who never misses, who's played about 7,000 games of footy in Cade Simpson, and you're talking about a back line that's Jacob Wiedering, Caleb Marchbank, Liam Jones got injured. Dale Thomas probably hasn't. Like, he was there last year, but he probably hasn't spent heaps of time across halfback for Carlton. And there's not heaps of experience. This is a team that's about to play Collingwood. Like, what is about to happen next week? Like, my goodness. I'd be
putting your house on Carlton to win.
Well, what's the spread going to be, though, Jono?
40 minimum?
Yeah. It's going to be, well, no, it'd be like 10 goals, surely. It's going to be big. I'm really concerned about how they move the ball going forward. And even like you look at the experienced players, like guys like Mark Murphy in that and Ed Curno, and they're just not winning the ball. So it's pretty concerning times down at Carlton. And if you are a Trent Dumont owner, congratulations. He's having a pretty nice AFL fantasy season. Obviously, he had a banger on the weekend playing that outside role, which is pretty handy when you've got a guy like Ben Cunnington winning every contested ball in sight. So, yeah, it was. I try not to take too much away from this game because Carlton were missing so many of their key prime moving players, so it's kind of a little bit unfair, but these guys are going to be probably missing for the next 2 weeks at least.
Yeah, hey, Jack Zeeble, he's shown promising signs the last 2 weeks playing in the midfield. Are you pretty happy with this role now, Steve, and think these scores, not maybe the tons, but back to sort of that 85-90 could continue with this?
I find it hard to think they won't. North Melbourne have been, I know they lost 2 weeks ago, but they were pretty competitive. So I think they should continue with that, but I'm not a Jack Zeeble truther, so it's probably hard for me to get around him.
Just also noticing, surely, well, probably not, but close to a career high on the old time on ground for Jed Godison, also known as Jed Anderson, 82%. Usually we see him in the 60s, and pumping out a 99 fantasy, 93 super coach. A few people would have grabbed him off the wire. So, it's good to see him actually get a full set of time on ground, because we just constantly see him put out good scores, but only in the 60s and 70s. So, I mean, hopefully this is a good sign moving forward for the Godison. Statesman, you checked out the Geelong-Essendon game there.
Yes, the Ararat Cup was played at the MCG. And the midfield merry-go-round continues. It's obviously in fashion at Collingwood, the Bulldogs, Port Adelaide, and now the Cats. Obviously, a little bit added to that with Danger being injured, 2 injuries he suffered during the day. And that created some midfield time for Sammy Menegola, really the first time he's had a decent role this year. He's been averaging 76 for the year and pumped out a 109. We also had Mitch Duncan got a bit more of an opportunity. And also Cam Guthrie, is this boy real this year? But certainly performed extremely well with limited time on ground, only 86 minutes played, and he pumped out 114. As we know, Tim Kelly's been playing pretty well in the midfield as well. So As soon as Danger got injured, it looked like a few of the players were rubbing their hands together saying, I'm going to grab that midfield time. And of course, no Joel Selwood this week, or Constable as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that merry-go-round. So just be mindful again with the captaincy options with Geelong. I think that'll rotate quite heavily throughout the year. The same with Collingwood, as we know. We talked about the Treloar and Adams effect. The Bulldogs, we know what they do. And, of course, Port Adelaide's a little bit the same, and now the kids are starting to get some time in there. So people like Rockcliffe and that might have a bit of a tough run for a while. And last but not least, I just want to talk about the rucks a little bit more. The new rules seem to be supporting the running and athletic ruckman. So we're starting to see a few of those younger ones. We talked about St Kilda's, but Stanley looks to really be ticking boxes with the new rules. Copped up a ton this week, doing pretty well against Tommy Bell Chambers, scoring 101. He's certainly not going to displace the big two, but certainly in the mix now for the second tier. And I want to concede, yes, that's right. I finally agree with something that Cam has told us.
Hey, that was me in the preseason. That was one of my things I got right. I got a lot wrong. That was one I got right.
Well, it's the only thing that Cam's ever got right, so I need to give him some praise. George Haaland-Smith, no. Stanley, yes.
Hey, there was one thing as well. I know super coaches were pretty high coming into this season on Aaron Francis. Now, I think you guys were a little bit cooler on the hype than most, but there was a bit of hype around Aaron Francis, surely, after that huge...
What? Come on. Francis.
What's going on?
What is this, ye old English times?
Go back to your fucking private school, Doss. Jesus.
Well, Aaron Francis had 76 Supercoach points playing as a forward. Now, Statesman, you watched the game here. I saw a little bit of it. Was he impressive up there? And is he someone that, is this role going to be beneficial for him playing as that sort of forward maybe and dropping down back a little bit as well?
Oh, look, to be honest, I'm not convinced. And it will take me a fair bit of time to be convinced by him, to be honest. He's always had that stigma that he hasn't got the fitness base to succeed throughout a four-quarter effort. So I want to see that sort of be put on the board yet. Look, did some nice things, but I'd back in your Ridley types. I think Ridley's the actual star long-term keeper backman. I think he's really impressive. Just uses the footy so well. He's a smooth mover. Yes, he probably doesn't have the marking ability of Aaron, but he'd be the one I'd back in out of those two. But it was also good to see Devin Smith back. A bit of lunch meat never goes astray.
Hey, we do have our trade of the week a little bit later, but I wanted to just outline one of your boys, Statesman, as well, for maybe a buy low candidate at the moment as well, because Brandon Parfitt, actually, he came in as a late replacement in this game, but they were clearly managing his time there. He only played 69% time on ground, Steve, for 69 fantasy points as well. So
very nice. Double nice.
Anyway, but He's had pretty solid games apart from one. So these are his four games that are non-injury affected. So 84, 93, then he had a 58. This is all fantasy, AFL fantasy. Then an 88 against GWS. Then he had a 37 in only a quarter of a game against Hawthorn when he got injured. And now he's returned perhaps like slightly earlier than they would have liked and only played the 69% time on ground. Do you think the scores, the average score, he's only averaging 72 forward eligible, I think he'll be playing a fair bit through the midfield, which they were doing with him early. Do you think now's an ideal opportunity to sort of buy low with the low time on grounds that he's played?
Absolutely. He is a longer-term keeper option. There's no doubts about that. But I'm all over this boy and have been for quite a while. Of course, the opportunities, we just talked about the merry-go-round, that's going to be there for a while. But you are getting a few ageing midfielders at that club, and also the negotiation with Tim Kelly is going to be hugely important. So if he leaves, then I reckon my boy is going to get a huge bump next year. So definitely a buy low. For a keeper league, I'll be finding a way where you can have him and stash him.
Well, I even mean single season, to be honest. 72 yeah, average, I think he can go, 85 from here?
I think he's one of those that is, like Constable, a supporting actor this year. He's going to be right on the right matchups, the right time and the right role. I really like Geelong's mix at the moment, and damn it, Cam, but that side's going to go pretty well if they look after their list. So they'll be managing people. They've never been the ones that have been afraid to give people rest. And so there'll be the occasional game where he'll have an absolute belter, a couple of 130s last year. You'll get one or two games of that. But it's a bit of Russian roulette. When's it going to be? When's it going to happen? When's the late out going to be where he gets that inside mid for midfield role? And that's the problem with it. With a keeper long term, definitely, he's going to be a massive ball getter.
Hey, Jono, you checked out the Adelaide-Fremantle game that went down at the Adelaide Oval today on Sunday.
Yeah, certainly did. And when you think three goals scored in a half of football, it's absolute garbage game. But I actually found this game pretty enthralling to watch.
Good.
You might think, oh, it's just a lot of contest after contest, Rossi line. But it was actually the defensive structure of this game that both teams were putting it all on the line to stop a goal being kicked. So it wasn't poor skill errors or a Ross line. It was just actually really good defensive teams matching up against each other. But the one thing I noticed is Bryce Gibbs. He got moved into the back line, and it looked like he was replacing the Miller role, and it was just utter garbage. Took a couple of kick-ins, but scored absolutely horrible when you had a bloke like Brody Smith, Rory Laird, even my boy Alex Keith running around in that back line. So I don't think they're going to drop Gibbs, but you have to seriously consider not starting him in your matchup, because he is not getting to get that midfield time, because that leads into my next point. It's a bloke by the name of Cam Ellis-Yolman. He took the tag on Nat Fyfe when he was in the centre, and then went to David Mundy when Fyfe was out of that midfield. So he was sort of the run-with enforcer at the centre bounces there, laid the five tackles, which stopped the Crouch boys from getting any tackles. They only had the six between them, so it's taking up their points there. I think Matty Crouch, only the 87 super coach, and the, what did he score? 87 super coach, and about 100 and something fantasy. Brad Crouch, 79 super coach, 93 AFL fantasy. So really sucking up the points there. And you've also got Hugh Greenwood, who also laid the seven tackles, is really sucking up those points in that midfield. But Michael Walters, he started off in the middle in the first quarter and absolutely racked him up. He had about 8 or 9 possessions in that first quarter, but then Ross the Boss moved him forward and just sucked up all his scoring. He only had finish off with 22 for the possessions for the game, 71-75. So, look, Ross the Boss should leave him inside the midfield, because he was the spark. He was the one pushing the ball forward, but I didn't see that happening too much. And Riley O'Brien, if we get Sauce Jacobs, if you can get Riley O'Brien floating around on your waiver wires, I'd be picking him up, because he's actually scoring pretty well. Had the 44 hitouts, 120 AFL fantasy, 123 super coach. Probably going to be more your super coach scorer than your AFL fantasy, and that's what I noticed this week.
Nice matchup with Richmond next week too, Jono.
Oh, there you go. Up against the Tigers next week. So should we saw what Tim English did to Nate Curvis, and you'd expect O'Brien to do the same.
And so David McKay fell back down to earth as well. What was the who was he replaced? Was he the Miller one we suggested could get the bump? Or
yes, well that's what I suggested, and obviously wrong.
No, that's right. I was just having
nice
a look.
Nice of you to rub that in, Dossie. Thank you very much.
No worries. So is it RIP Sauce then, lads?
Yeah.
He won't be back in.
No, of course not.
I'm calling it RIP Sauce. Too old, you're too slow. All you can do is head out. O'Brien gets around the ground, and he's the future of Ruckman.
I think he's such a great runner, and that's going to benefit him. He's never been given the opportunity, and he's starting to take it with both hands. And taking it with both hands, he's starting to get some contested marks in games. If that improvement continues, yes, it's rest in peace sorts. But all he needs is to have a shocker, and they'll go. We'll go back to the person that's given us such great value for a long time.
All right, still to come, we have our waiver wire pickups trade of the week and a captain risky for round 8, as well as some listener questions. First, though, we're up to 170 iTunes ratings, heading towards our current goal of 200, which will get Cam doing a shoey of Smirnoff Ice on the live stream. And there was a review left there as well this week, Jono.
There was, and if we can mix in that Smirnoff Ice with a great Northern mid-strength, just to really add that flavour for Cam, that would be sensational. But the review this week is from Dombowski, hopefully a relative of the Big Lebowski. The heading is the best fantasy podcast, and he says, "These guys are Supercoach draft rock stars, fantastic content and dissection of draft Supercoach options. Much better than the same classic podcast versions. Highly recommend." Thank you, Dombowski, and keep those reviews and ratings coming through, because we do want to see Cam do a shoe of Smirnoff Ice and Great Northern on the live stream.
All right, onto our waiver wire pickups for the week. Using the rule of under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy, in shallower leagues, there should be better options available. We also want to remind you to keep checking who people are dropping regularly in case you can snap up a bargain. Jono, what are your waiver wire pickups this week?
Yeah, only a couple this week, but before I do get into it, we had a suggestion from one of our long-time listeners, Elliot James. We all know I write the late week pickup articles every Friday, and he just wants a bit of a recap on how the players have scored. So just quickly going through them, I start off with Jack Darling. He scored 90 AFL Fantasy, 132 Supercoach. Josh Walker, 31 and 51. Noah Ainsworth, 60 and 72, so not too bad for a defender. Sydney Stack went 89 and 103 Supercoach. Dylan Grimes, 37 and 45. And Castagna, 34 and 35. So missed the mark on a few of those ones, but my waiver wire this week.
You really saw that Bulldogs Richmond game going the other way, didn't you?
I most certainly did. But my first waiver wire is Michael Hibberd this week. He is at 56% ownership. They are playing the Gold Coast Suns. We did see what the defenders did against the Gold Coast Suns, so Michael Hibberd should get plenty of the ball. And my other main one is Cam Ellis-Yolman, 63% ownership. He is sucking up that midfield time, so I would be looking to get him, even if it is just a bench coverage options as we head into those buy-ins as well. But a couple that I wouldn't be putting a waiver in, but maybe see if there's a free agency. You've got Tippin Woody at 57%. They're up against the Swans this week. Swans are just leaking goals left, right and centre. And also, I don't mind Mark Bagley. He's been doing all right in Supercoach. He's in 4%, so I'd just be maybe looking to grab him as a late week pickup as well. But that's all I really got for my waiver wire pickups this week.
What do you got for us, Steve?
I actually think this is one of the most piss weeks I've ever seen for waiver wire pickups. I've got Charlie Cameron at 42% playing the Western Bulldogs. I like Charlie Cameron. I think he's a pretty good player. So I'll just give you a couple of the matchups that I'm really targeting. And obviously the first one off the bat is Collingwood against Carlton. If you can find some Collingwood players. Like, and this is the thing, is like Jaden Stevenson's like 83% owned on Ultimate Footy, so thanks Keeper Leagues. He shouldn't be.
So maybe a Mychek?
Well, even, yeah, Mychek's owned like 64, 63, so he fits the bill, but I'd certainly be looking to hit up some forwards against Collingwood. Defenders against Adelaide have just been money in the bank. So again, those Port Adelaide defenders I mentioned earlier, like your Leanitz, your Burn Jones, And also for Supercoach leagues, Tommy Jonas should be back pretty soon. Johnny, he got dropped in our home league, so I'll probably be putting in a waiver on him. I think he's a great player. Certainly be looking to pick up some defenders for Port Adelaide. Small forwards.
Can we see Broadbent come back in?
No.
Tore it up in the knee sample.
No. No. So small forwards against North. I know North had a pretty impressive win this week, but they're playing Geelong this week, so I'd expect them to get demolished like they should be. So maybe some small forwards for Geelong. Maybe Gary Rowan can replicate his amazing performance from a few weeks back. And again, like Jono mentioned, defenders have been pretty good generally against Richmond, so maybe Nice house. Could be interesting and just, my goodness me. And actually, on your defenders against St Kilda, West Coast are playing St Kilda this week, Statesman, but I'm pretty sure all those boys are heavily owned in that. So I'm looking forward to the Bulldogs Lions in Ballarat, though.
We're being about -5 this weekend, you'd imagine.
No, it was like 12 degrees today. It was a beautiful day. I went for my run. It was very nice.
Did you have any there to add on, Statesman?
No, I certainly didn't. But can I just make one really quick shout-out to Phil, one of our loyal listeners, the owner of Bangers and Mash. So in our Listener League keeper, he smashed out a score of 1968. So only 18 on the field for this. So that's quite remarkable. And to think that's higher than Doss's AFL fantasy score when he's got 22 players this week. That's how good he went.
I just want to tell us a tale of heartbreak from my home league, where I've faced a 1986. Ooh. I've come in with 1775. Second highest score of the week in the league and just got poleaxed, like not even close.
Wow.
Jono just gets over the 1500 for the win.
You fucking shit cunt, Jono.
Well, this is how well Phil has gone this week. I'll just rattle through the players he got a ton out of. Crisp, Rich in defence. His midfield had Gaff as captain. Duncan 120, Elliot Yeo 146, Scott Pendlebury 126, Stevenson in the forward line 101, Cameron in the forward line 109, Rowan Marshall 113, Papley 102. He also had another ton sitting that didn't have to use on his bench with Georgie Hewitt with 103. And these are three players who didn't turn up for him. Rory Laird with his 95, Jack McRae with his 99, and Jared Witts with his 98. So fair running this week, Phil. Congratulations. Bangers and Mash are just about to hit the top of the Listener League keeper competition. Well done, mate.
I mean, these big scores like can happen, and unfortunately, Stevie, you might lose a matchup or two despite a big score. You know, there's a 10-minute lecture on variance from last week's podcast you can listen to if you want to hear more about that.
Doss, variance is everything, and I just want to say this backs it up. Like, we actually had a listener during the week message us. He goes, "Oh, Steve, it was great to hear because I'm coming third last in our league. I've scored the second most total points." It happens. Because you could be an absolute jobber of a player like Jono who chuds by on 1500s and gets W's, or you could be a great player like myself who loses with good scores. So I don't know. It's just one of those things. That's variance, man. That's the bitch of fantasy footy. What are you fucking laughing at?
I've got a couple more.
I'm looking at your light flicker.
Hey, I've got a couple.
That's variance.
I actually have a couple more waiver wire pickups really quickly as well. I mean, you guys didn't mention George Hewitt, 42% owned his last few games, 87, 80, 103 fantasy, but 84, 99.
You would have heard the sound I gave Jono with his late week pickups. So here it is, just preparing for we rolling back and giving George Hewitt scores next week, Doss. Bum, bum.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to do well in that trash side at the moment. So I think some people need to put their hands up. And Cunningham got a bit injured there, and we saw Dawson's just refused to get a bit of time on ground here, only 68% or something. So somebody's got to score, and Hewitt put his hand, 154 super coach points, by the way, for Hewitt there.
Wow.
Anyway, Adam Chera as well, 47% owned. I still really like him, 82 fantasy, 85 super coach. He's got defender forward eligibility, but...
Is he under 21?
Anyway, I think he played a little bit through the midfield as well. And if we see that more throughout the year, he's got that flexibility is really handy. And who had the Kangaroos game? Because I know it was a massive blowout, of course, but Taylor Garner, I'm a fan. I was a fan a couple of years ago before he had the injuries. Only 7% owned, 81 fantasy, 96 super coach. I think he was trying to play on the wing when he came back, but this year obviously he's probably just slotted back to being a forward. But is there no hope there for Taylor Garner? I just used to like his game.
There's hope, but they've got a lot of those guys. I still think Simpkins the one I like the most. We know Garner's had his injury struggle, so yes, maybe. But look at Zerha's bobbed up with 5 today. They've got a few of those sort of guys who have got the tricks, don't they? So it can't always be all of them.
Yeah. All right, well, on to our trade of the week there with Steve.
Yeah, I've actually got 2, and one's a buy, one's a sell. I think Isaac Haney's a pretty good buy at the minute. He's thrown out a couple of pretty shitty scores lately, but with Buddy Franklin being out, I think he should be back in pretty soon, and allegedly Daniel Menzel's not far away, so maybe they've got better forward options. And maybe Isaac can actually get back into the midfield and put out some pretty good scores. It's only 3 weeks ago he was bopping out pretty nice tons for us. So I think he's a pretty handy buy low. And the sell, this might be a pretty controversial one, because if you're the owner of this player, you won't want to sell him. And I'm not sure what sort of value you're going to get. But I actually reckon David Mundy's a great sell at the minute. His last 5 weeks has been fucking massive, and he's doing it in very limited time on ground, like astoundingly low time on ground for the big scores he's been putting out. And we have to be edging closer to a Connor Blakely return. He had second game back in the NEFL on the weekend, 31 touches. I don't think it's too far away for Connor Blakely. Maybe they had a loss today. Maybe Ross likes their mix and Blakely's on the outside looking in. I don't know. But I think if there's a guy who's going to suffer from that, it's probably going to be Mundy. So whether you can get fair value, maybe he's just more value in your team. Even if he drops what he's been doing to an 85, that might be good enough. But I think it's a pretty cagey sell high.
Yeah, nice one. It's time for Captain Risky, a captain outside the obvious picks, because not everyone can own a reliable weekly option like Braden Fairini when he's not tagged by Mark Hutchings. So who is your Captain Risky pick this week, Statesman?
Yeah, it's not a Captain Risky when you pick the 6th highest midfield scorer for the year, Doss. So when you stand in for me, maybe give us something a bit more risky. We did talk about the scoring defenders against St Kilda. So I'm going to make this short and sweet. My Captain Risky for this week is Shannon Hearn, because I just reckon he's going to be going massive against St Kilda. Pumped out 2 120 scores already this year, so we know he's in great form. So I'm expecting about a 115 against St Kilda, maybe as high as 130.
Awesome. And if you want more captain options, check out the Draft Doctor's website to find the Statesman Skipper's article. You can also find Cam's injury report up there, A Dozen Deals by Sam Porter, and Jono's Late Week Pickups, all on the Draft Doctor's website. That's thedraftdoctors.com.au. And you might as well grab a Gotarini t-shirt while you're there as well. All right, we better get on to some questions from social media. So that's, you can follow us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or find us on Facebook or Instagram. We'll go to the Twitter questions first. And gee, there's someone here. Hello, this is C. McLaughlin.
Next.
No, that's too obvious. Call me Cameron M. And he says, if you've just moved to Brisbane, am I allowed to vote for someone else than Palmer United or One Nation? I'd really like to vote for some for sane people, but I'm afraid of being burnt at the stake. Cam enjoying his move to Brisbane there. The next one, a legitimate question here, comes from Branko.
Cam, I remember when he used to do the podcast. How good is it now he's not on it anymore?
Yeah, that interstate move's been fantastic for me.
Best thing that's happened to the pod.
No, notice how Cam's gone and I'm back.
Yeah. Are you away
What's
next
happened
week,
there?
I'm no, away I'm next week.
Back.
Oh, you're away next week.
Yeah.
Ah, we can do a three-man show.
Yeah. They don't have internet in Brisbane, do they?
Well, Branko would like to know, his mate would like to know, if he should continue to roster Mark Murphy, Steve.
Nah, fuck Mark Murphy, mate.
Pick up Trent Dumont instead.
How good will Patrick Cripps be when he plays a full game? Hashtag Cam sucks. That's from Surly the Hansard.
Well, he had 92% time on ground. Pretty good for an inside mid. But Cam does suck, so it's a good point.
I guess he's referring to the fact he was on two fantasy points at quarter time, just stringing together consistency, maybe he's referring to.
Cam was on two fantasy points.
Can I actually say something a little bit hashtag off-brand? But there was a period where Mark Hutchins was closing down the man we sell T-shirts about. And I got to the point where I saw that Ellis Yolman's score was increasing more regularly than Gotis. And I was close to sending a little message to Doss saying, your boy is scoring less in the second half than Cam Ellis-Yolman. How bad are you tracking when I'm thinking that?
Well, are you having a go at my boy? He struggled through a tag, but he still pumped out a 76.
Whoa.
It's all right. That's all right.
It's my captain this week got 76, but that's after doubling it.
The problem,
thanks, Danger.
The problem with going the early crow is that good players generally turn around.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You're spot on. I don't know. I brought in Zach Merritt this year, and he just really struggled. At quarter time, I think he was on 9. And I was just about to go to Twitter and go on, this is just ridiculous. Merritt, you're over. He ended up with 143, I think it was.
Wow.
So it's amazing how quickly players can turn it around, whether it's role change, whether it's just you had a bit of bad luck and whatever. But you're right. Sometimes you can overreact while a game's been played.
Russ, he must have had a rough week, like many people there. Ken Statesman, sweet talk Gil into wiping the fantasy scores for round 7. Struggling there, Russ. What do you reckon, Statesman? Put in a word there.
I got 3 out of my 4 leagues were winners went up the rankings in all 3 of the salary cap formats. So I'm not complaining, so sorry, I won't start the sweet talking. But I went crap too, so don't worry, everyone did.
Fist Smash Fight asks, he grabbed Hoskin Elliott from my pool last week. First 2 scores underwhelming despite Pies looking hot. Does he return to 85 like last year? I think he means the year before last year. Or has too much changed? Oh, unless that was a super coach. My mistake. Or has too much changed RE roles, personnel, game plan? Cheers, Chiefs. He's chiefed. He's just playing, chiefed us.
Just chiefed. Well, thanks, Chief.
What do you think about that, big fella?
He's playing a perma forward, so that's the difference in the role, rather than getting a fair bit of free time up the wing. And as we know, Collingwood have 3 too many midfielders as it is, so he's not going to get that rotation through it. It doesn't mean things don't change for the future, whether it be injuries, different opportunities, and whatever the case may be. He's a hold in a keeper, but not for a single year.
I've also had this problem with Hoskin Elliott, is he's not going to even be the probably secondary option in the forward line. He's probably the 4th option if they're kicking inside 50. You've got Degoe, who they love going to, and why wouldn't you? He's such a beast in the one-on-one. But also, Jaden Stevenson's ability to find space is unbelievable. Like, he really just finds space. He's quicker than everyone. So he's really good. I like Will Hoskin-Elliott. This week coming is probably a week I would want to play him, because it looks on paper as though Collingwood should put the sword to Carlton and pretty early. But I don't think he's someone you have to keep on your roster.
All right, this question comes from @SouthOst. Couldn't watch the game. What is the pod's thoughts on Cunningham, T. Thomas, and Simpkin moving forward? This is a Keeper League related question.
I really like Jai Simpkin. He's been probably one of my personal disappointments for this year, but I think there's a few... Oh, fuck off, Doss. One of those things where it hasn't just gone his way. It hasn't
Francis.
Gone... Doss is off the show next week. It's just going to be me and Staceman. I like him going forward, but I don't think you need to keep him. Taron Thomas, pretty interesting. Looks super talented. Like, they're all sort of in that interesting mix, and it's going to be league dependent as to whether you keep them or not. I don't think any of them are must keeps. Depending on how many you actually keep, I really like Simpkin, but I just. It's a tough sell at the minute, to be honest.
This is the final question from the Twitter sphere. Who is planning on being three sheets to the wind this week? He voted for me, but I'm on the waters. Is that an old saying of drunk?
Yeah.
Yes. That'd be Jono.
Jono. All right, this one comes from Facebook from Scott. Given last week's great pod, time to rehash some old topics. Chicken salt and pink salt, or just... chicken salt, go.
No, it's chicken salt.
Chicken salt.
All three.
No, actually, I've got an old topic we can rehash because I've revisited something. And Jono's going to be pretty happy with this. Because I've thrown out the, was it last week? Mrs. Fizz and I had nachos with mince.
Hell yes.
What? Yeah, so what's happened is the avocados have gone from the Haas avocados to... what are those shit-ass other avocados?
Shepherd.
Yeah, which are the Harry McKay of avocados, right?
Yep. Good one, Mike.
And they're just they're just terrible. They're shocking. You can't have them. And Mrs. Fizz said the other night, I'm training for the marathon, or the half marathon, and I didn't want to eat chips, but Mrs. Fizz wanted nachos. I said, well, all right, well, we'll turn it into a meal. But I don't want these shit-ass... Shepherd avocados, as they're allegedly called, not like the shepherd who plays for West Coast, who's like fantastic. So I tried out the mince, and look, it was fine. Felt kind of dirty. Had a shower afterwards, and but it wasn't horrible. But I give avocados the W. But it's an edible solution, Jono.
Goddamn right it is.
A lot of sour cream involved, like a whole. I'm just pouring this shit.
Cheese, mint, salsa, nachos.
Sour cream.
That's it.
Oh, fuck. You got... If there was no sour cream, it would have been crap.
No.
Well, sour cream, good prep for a half marathon.
So you're not allowed chips, but you're just on the beers, no worries.
Yeah. On the beers. Mate, on the sour cream.
It's a cheat day, shut up.
No, well, because I have a thing with chips. I have a thing with chips where I'll eat like 8 bags in a week. Like, I'm a massive chip fiend.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
I thought I was bad.
No, plough through the chips. Mrs. Fizz, do I plough through the chips?
Yeah, good commentary, Mrs.
What's wrong? Oh, this is even better. No, Mrs. Fizz is doing this teeth whitening shit, right? She's bought this kit from, was it Aldi? So she can't actually talk at the minute. She got me one too, but my teeth are fucked, so don't worry about that. So she's got this thing in her mouth at the minute.
I might have to get Mrs. Stokes.
Mrs. Fizz has got this thing in her mouth, wink, wink, where she can't talk because she's trying to whiten her teeth. So, Dossie, when we come over to Adelaide, if her teeth aren't white, this hasn't worked at all. What an interesting...
Might have to grab one myself. Does it fix dead teeth or...?
I had a dead tooth, man. I had to get it ripped out. But she's got a... Yeah, I won't go into it.
All right, next question from Chris on Facebook. Danger, give him the C next week. Statesman, what do you reckon? Do you reckon he'll play? Or if he does, would you give him the C?
No, wouldn't give him the C, mate. When someone's injured, and I know Danger gets criticised for overplaying injuries and stuff like that, but when they get injured and they're rolling back, you avoid. You play it safe. Find someone else to put a C on.
All right, and we've got one last question. A quarter of the way into the season, what hashtag trends have you noticed? Have the rule changes made any difference? Long-time listener on the way home from another Carlton disappointment. Hashtag supercoach forever. Hashtag DT sucks.
Well, it's a good point you make there. I would say the thing that I struggled with, because I came into the year, obviously I'll usually boot forwards, aside from one or two in my five-man forward line, and sort of play the waivers. Key forwards are really, really tough sell on me at the minute. I just booted them all except for JJK, rolled him out this week in what looked to be the best matchup in the world. Even then, it was pretty slim pickings. He only scored like 65 Supercoach, I think. Key forwards. Whether that's actually a reflection of the rule changes or not, I'm not entirely sure, because I just kind of think that defensive structures are just getting so good that it's hard from week to week.
What has everyone else noticed? Statesman, you noticed anything in particular?
Yeah, premium defenders are scoring really well. And I'm talking players that play in defence. But then if you go to the forward line, there is. So I'm just going through. This is AFL Fantasy scoring. I shouldn't be answering the question after we bagged it. But Boak, 118. He's a midfielder. Danger, 102, dropped down from 113, midfielder. Tim Kelly, 100, midfielder. Caleb Daniel, 98, defender, playing in defence. Billings, 96, he's actually playing on the wing. Marshall, 96, actually, where's he playing? In the ruck. Now, here's an interesting one. Ablett, 96, Jono, not too far away from that magical little mark. Again, he's doing a mixture of forward and a bit of midfield. So what I'm seeing at the moment is the athletic rucks are getting a tick and scoring better. The defenders are scoring better, but the forwards are actually struggling. So, which has been of a bit of a rule for quite some time, to try and find forwards are actually playing in the midfield that just have the forward status. That's even stronger this year. So they're the things that I've noticed so far. And I think your midfielders, they need to have a different skill set if they're going to go massive.
Is that bit, like a lot of what you just said, Statesman, to me, is that it's really getting harder and harder to pick forwards for matchups.
Oh, yeah. Like, absolutely. It's the hardest line.
Yeah.
Jono, you got anything you've noticed?
Yeah, just touching on what we spoke about before. Like, you'll notice, like when I mentioned against the Doggies, that forwards have scored well for a couple of weeks, and then it just turns on its head. It's really hard to predict how the patterns are going to play out from week to week. So where I thought Richmond were going to just shit all over the Bulldogs this week, went opposite, but you'll probably see it revert back next week to standard operating procedure. So it's just really hard to predict the matchups and how things are going to pan out, as the other guys have said.
I think one thing I just want to touch on that I've really... I sort of knew it, but it's really been reinforced to me, is that internal competition is such a bitch. Like, the more players who can do something, it's really taking away from the bottom line of players. The more you have to compete against. Like, I don't think it's any surprise the second Miller went down, you saw Rory Laird to start to knock out his best scores of the year.
Yep.
Yeah. I think one thing I noticed that I can't... to be honest, have any stats to back it up. So it might be incorrect completely, and I'll take
that's a surprise from you, Doc.
Yeah, yeah. So a hashtag trend I just seem to notice this year, when there's a dominant team on the day, it just seems like there's less likely. Like, I remember back in the day, you know, say a Brisbane game where Rocky and Hanley could still pump out big scores, or like the ball magnet on the opposition could still pump out a huge score. And it has happened a couple of times this year, but you just see... I feel like the dominant teams this year, with the new possessive sort of style and the new game styles that people are rolling with, hold the ball, that's like, if you've got a player on the opposition and they're getting hammered, it's not just that easy anymore to still rack up a really nice score. Like, Paddy Cripps today did a great job to be able to get a great score that he did. It seems like, you know, you get the Collingwoods and there's like 15 Collingwood players before you see the first on the opposition side. Like, is that something you guys have seen this year? It's like when you're versing a team and your team is, and the team you've got a player in is getting smashed, you're just like, bloody hell, just please get me a little, like a marginal score of what they usually get. It just seems like that's more prevalent this year.
So the two things that have happened here, so most people would have thought the rule changes increase the scores, but what it actually does, it puts everyone in the zones, so therefore there's more space. So there's more space to move from any of the zones to the next one. So if you've got good skills, you can actually control the football more. If we go back to Collingwood and Richmond, that's what Collingwood did. They just kept on going to the next space, next space, next space. So that means there's going to be less scoring because you're spending more time holding up the football instead of charging forward. But what it actually also does, the new rules, because they're structured, it means you're actually never out of controlling it the next time. So in other words, you've actually got the opportunity, the square one, when the bounce happens, that you can score quickly and freely. So the game is never clogged up deliberately, but is actually there's an opportunity, and that's why I think defenders are scoring so much, that there's actually more space to move into. So if you've got good skills, you can have more plus sixes in your team.
All right, well, I think, is that everything for the podcast today, lads? We all finished another pretty long episode there. Well, thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at The Draft Doctors and check out the website for all our great articles. That's thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thanks again to Salibu Macy for the intro and outro music. Keep an ear out for their new song, Dog Days, coming out May 10th, and get down to their gig at the Exeter Hotel in Adelaide on the 18th of May if you're in town. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.